What's on your mind? Talk about it with Mike Walsh on B95.5 FM. WUTQ. Call 624-0870. 624-0870. It's the talk of the town.
At 4 minutes before 9 o'clock, we got sunshine. We got 41 degrees. Good looking day. Not a bad day to travel if you're going to be traveling today. And I will get that that website address for the thruway. And there's also, by the way, a radio station, kind of a low-power AM station, and most towns have them that can actually give you updated thruway information, although it looks like everything's going to be fine, and all the as far as construction goes, that will all be shut down this morning and probably be shut down until Monday for the entire what's considered the Thanksgiving travel time. 4 minutes before 9 o'clock, as we say good morning and welcome in to civil rights advocate Leon Cosio. Leon, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Pleased to be here, Mike.
Okay, we got several things to talk about today. First of all, you've just filed a test case. We got about 3 minutes that we can just briefly talk about this. If you can just give me kind of a thumbnail about exactly what this is, what it means, and where it's going.
Yes, it's a test case. That is, it's a case designed to challenge the constitutionality of laws that interfere with parent-child relations. I've taken the position on behalf of many other parents similarly situated, both mothers and fathers, that the state is too much involved in the lives of our children. And as a result, we're finding many problems, social ills that are created by what is really a dysfunctional process. So I hope to have certain of these laws declared unconstitutional, those laws that interfere the most with parents' rights to rear their own children.
Okay, we'll talk about that, get into that in more depth in just a couple of minutes from right now. Also this morning at about 9:30, somewhere thereabouts, we do have our state comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli, on. We'll talk to him about Medicaid and some spending that really doesn't need to happen. We're not talking in the thousands, but upwards of $150 million of unnecessary spending went out this past year in Medicaid, and we'll address that, as well as money that you might have coming to you. And how you can find out about that as well with our state comptroller this morning at 2 minutes now before 9 o'clock, B95.5 FM, WUTQ.
The talk of the town with Mike Walsh. If it's about central New York, we're talking about it. B95.5 FM, WUTQ.
B95.5 FM, W238CA Utica, WUTQ Utica, WADR Remsen, soft favorites, the new B95.5 FM.
Good morning. I'm Dave Green with the latest news for Utica and Central New York on B95.5 FM WUTQ. This Thanksgiving, heightened security, including new full body scanners and more thorough pat-downs, could cause more delays at airports across the state. AAA projects that Thanksgiving travel will climb by 11.4% from last year, with 42.2 million people traveling at least 50 miles from home. Air travel is expected to be up by 3.5%. Amtrak is advising travelers to arrive at the station at least 45 minutes before departure if they need to pick up tickets. Amtrak's two busiest travel days of the year, today and this coming Sunday. Millions of people are expected to take to the New York State Thruway during the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Their heaviest traffic days today and this coming Sunday. Last year, over 3.1 million vehicles traveled over 113 million miles over the Thanksgiving weekend. Motorists are advised to be patient and courteous as they travel. State police will be out in full force. A Rome businessman is lighting up the sky with his generosity. For the first time since Mayor Jim Brown can remember, the city was going to have to forego the annual fireworks display that usually accompanies its tree lighting ceremony in early December. Joseph Fazio of Fazio's Auto Sales heard the news, couldn't allow it. He's donating $2,500 needed to ensure that the fireworks display remains part of the popular holiday tradition. The 84th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade takes place in New York City tomorrow and will again feature the true spirit of Thanksgiving, the float presented by the Oneida Indian Nation. The float features the white pine tree of peace that's nearly 30 feet tall. The 15th annual Fire and Ice fundraiser for the American Red Cross this year will be a lunch instead of a dinner. It highlights the relationship between the Red Cross and area fire departments. Red Cross officials say Fire and Ice is one of their biggest fundraisers of the year that produces 50% of the fundraising budget. The luncheon will be held December 8th. The event's keynote speaker this year will be Utica Fire Chief Russell Brooks. Your B95.5 forecast, a slight chance of flurries this morning, mostly cloudy, then gradually turning sunny, high 39. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 23 with a northwest wind. Thanksgiving Day, a chance of snow and sleet in the morning, a chance of rain in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 41. That's the latest news from B95.5 FM. Listen at noon and 5 p.m. for the WKTV News Hour on B95.5 FM, WUTQ 1550 and 1480 AM WADR.
Help make a child's holiday season special this year. Bring a new unwrapped toy or gift to one of our Stuff the Bus stops. You can find out where the bus is going to stop by going to stuffthebuscny.com. Last year, we collected over 8,000 toys for local children, but this year, we need even more. Please help us put a smile on children's faces this year. Stuff the Bus is proudly sponsored by AmeriCue Credit Union, Fidelis Care, Bernie Bus Service, WKTV, Rome Volkswagen, and Rozier Communications Network.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-1480. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-1480. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of New Proactive plus two free extras. Show acne who's boss. Be proactive. Call 1-800-489-1480. That's 1-800-489-1480.
If you haven't yet planned for the snow, what will you do when it comes? Northeast Excavating can get rid of it all. Just call 525-9482, 525-9482. They do commercial and residential snow plowing, commercial snow removal, and sanding is available. Call 525-9482, 525-9482. Northeast Excavating, reasonable rates, seasonal contracts, fully insured. Let them get rid of all that snow.
We're ready to talk. It's the Talk of the Town with Mike Walsh on B95.5 FM, WUTQ.
No, this is gray area. Do I really want to go there? I mean, this could be, I could lose my job for talking about stuff like this on the air.
Talk to the left, talk to the right, and talk right down the middle.
And I'm a freak about noises. I hate noises. I get annoyed by everything.
This is the Talk of the Town with Mike Walsh on B95.5 FM, WUTQ, 1550 and 1480 AM, WADR. Now, here's Mike Walsh.
At 4 minutes after 9 o'clock, we got sunshine. We are up to 42 degrees. Good-looking day for holiday travel if you're hitting the roads today. If you need a list of places to go for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, Thanksgiving dinner for the needy, you can always call me 624-0870. 624-0870. 9:30 this morning, it's our New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli talking about Medicaid and other issues that affect us financially. Right now, however, we are with civil rights advocate Leon Cozio. Leon, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Mike.
You might want to pull that just a little bit closer, that microphone. When we kind of teased the segment, we talked about a test case that you have in court. Now, what is the difference between a test case and a regular case?
Well, a regular case is one that serves primarily the interest of the litigant only.
Okay.
For example, you get in a car accident, you sue the person responsible for the damage to your vehicle.
Okay.
It's just a case between you and the other party, and that's the vast majority of litigation. Test cases are those that are brought on behalf of not only yourself, but others that are similarly situated involving a far greater issue or a problem that we generally see in society today. The best example that I could give for those of you obviously familiar with the Oneida land claim and the Turning Stone Casino, the Oneidas brought a test case in 1970 on behalf of a small group of Oneida Indians, a single legal advocate, And that test case led to further filings and larger cases, including a class action against landowners in 1998. In short, it was a test case that led to what you see today, the casino and hundreds of thousands of acres of land that the Supreme Court of the United States eventually, in 1985, found to be valid. In 1970, the case was thrown out. Few paid much attention to it. Mm-hmm. Our counties didn't defend it very vigorously. And as a result, here we are today. Some 40 years later, dealing with this, what is probably the most successful enterprise in central New York.
So as far as your test case goes, then, you're kind of getting into uncharted water here. There's no legal precedence for what you're undertaking and what this case is about.
Mike, you're right. It is uncharted terrain because this is a problem that's been underway and escalating over decades. While other areas of civil rights reform have received their appropriate attention, everything from gender discrimination for women to obviously race discrimination and other areas. Even gay rights today we see is high on the agenda. But the area that has been silent discrimination, particularly fathers in these domestic relations courts, are not getting their fair day. They're not getting their meaningful access to their children. They're being exploited for their resources, their money, and they're basically made out to be a welfare check, as opposed to what their true purpose is in life, and that is to rear their children. When government gets involved in parent-child relations unnecessarily, there are mm-hmm. situations, of course, where they perhaps need to be called upon. But the vast majority of these mainstream cases where parents are hauled into court, they are made to fight over custody and support orders, which actually end up harming the children. And one parent gets thrown out eventually in the relationship or mm-hmm. largely removed, and usually that's the father. And yet it is a form of discrimination that has simply not been addressed. The closest that we've seen in recent years is the year 2000 in the case of Troxell versus Granville. The Supreme Court dealt with visitation and custody rights, but that was in the case where grandparents' rights were involved. We really haven't seen the Supreme Court address this because the Supreme Court itself is not very unanimous in how they view parenting rights. And there is absolutely going to be a need for a test case of this sort. I have another one which is that went through the state track. I'm going to seek a writ before the U.S. Supreme Court shortly. But this is the more likely case that I hope and expect will reach the U.S. Supreme Court, at least on a writ.
Why is it? And by the way, what is a writ?
A writ is a petition to the United States Supreme Court to hear a case based on federal law or laws that warrant its jurisdiction. The Supreme Court takes very few cases across the country, obviously. But in order to get the Supreme Court to hear your case, the more compelling its nature, the stronger your writ, which is the petition itself, the mm-hmm. stronger justification that you can make the Supreme Court to hear the case, then on their own discretion, four justices come together and say, we're going to hear this case. And then we're off to the races. The best example, again, I'll give is the Oneida case against. Again, this will be the third time that the Oneidas have been before the United States Supreme Court in the last 40 years. The first time, of course, was 1974, and that was that test case.
Do you feel like you're kind of fighting an uphill battle? Because with the Oneidas now, they've got, they have a pretty deep pockets and the resources to be able to fight this on a larger level, and that certainly plays into any court case. And I assume that you're probably working mostly on your own with this.
Well, I'm working with a group of fathers, and we also have a support base nationwide. Obviously, being a victim myself, I'm going to bring a case like this, as anyone else has a right to. A person gets beat up on the streets, a police brutality case, they're going to bring a lawsuit.
Sure.
A victim of race discrimination loses his or her job. They're going to bring a lawsuit. Me, I was retaliated against for these petitions. My career was damaged, and I'm seeking relief in my own right. But as far as in my own, no, there are parents all across the country who are supporting this cause. We're getting calls from all over the place. A law firm, for example, in Chicago just contacted us yesterday, another one down in Alabama, asking me even to assist them in similar test cases, one that involves alimony laws. They're running into some of the same obstacles that I am, but obviously somebody has to do this. And, lawyers aren't going to take this risk. You have to have courage to do so. We are architects of justice, and yet we're not doing our job, as far as I can see it because this discrimination persists. The lawyers I've talked to over the years say, well, yeah, it does exist, but you can't do anything about it. And that's just not the attitude that I want. With respect to the resources, well, the Oneidas didn't have many resources at all. In 1970, lived in a 32-acre trailer park. And the people that came together obviously believed in a cause. And no one, I think, today would question the wisdom and the courage that they had to stick to the cause, to stay the course as they did, and see what they have produced today. My hope is that down the road, we will one day be able to see parents raising their children in separated environments, which is the mainstream, the majority of our parenting population today, and they will be able to get along without having to call upon the state constantly to resolve all their problems. The state can't resolve our problems. They weren't meant to, certainly not an American form of government. Other governments who have tried to experiment with this notion that the state knows best, you know, people like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong, we see it in socialist and in fascist countries. That experiment failed. In our country, we believe that our people can handle their own problems. The competitive environment is good. When we have parents, we're trying to impose a utopian philosophy on how to raise our children, and it doesn't exist. Your idea of how to raise children is going to be different than mine. And that's what makes America what it is, this melting pot. We have what we would call laboratories of people doing their own thing all around the country, music, culture. We see people experimenting with new formulas that cure diseases. And that's because we give incentive to people to come up with these new innovations. In the parenting world, it's no different. We have parents who raise their children one way, parents who raise their children other ways, and the state's trying to come and form some sort of utopian manner in which we know how to go about doing it. So in the future, my hope is that fathers and mothers can participate equally or near equally in their children's lives. Fathers will have the incentive to go and be involved rather than to be vilified as they are today. They're always on the defensive in these courts, and that we will have a more equitable society. We are simply not living by the Constitution of the United States in these courts. They are running roughshod over our rights, and fathers are obviously discriminated. The stats back that up. 85% of all people paying child support are men, and we need to get that number down if we're going to truly call ourselves a free and equal nation.